Avondale School Board. Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. April 28, 1898. Dear brethren, the ways of the Lord are equal and righteous and just. There must be no selfishness nor unjust requirements woven into the work and cause of God. All true righteousness God accepts, and this will have no selfishness in it. Brother Hughes has worked hard. He has not been regarded as the principal. He has not looked on as a director, but has put his strength into hard physical labor. The cutting down of his wages is a mistake and should not be done. If he is willing to thus sacrifice himself, his associates in the school are not to allow him to do so. Will his brethren allow him to do all the sacrificing? Will the Lord justify his brethren in doing this? He would take up the work that lies in his pathway, but his work should not be that which it has been in the past. He should cultivate his mind and talents to engage in the schoolwork, for he can do this work conscientiously and intelligently. But he has neglected responsibilities in the line of a pastor, and has borne the burdens of physical labor which should have been carried by others who have not a preparedness to take hold of the pastoral work. This has been unwise. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Christ says, Matthew 6, verse 33. This is to be the first business. Brother Hughes has not shunned the labor on the land, but to maintain the two interests has been too much for the human strength to endure. There must not be a repetition of this. The Lord would not have our brother and sister Hughes pass through the same experience in the future that they have in the past. Neither brother nor sister Hughes have superior physical ability, yet they have been hard toilers. All through the vacation, Sister Hughes has carried a heavy burden. Sister Hughes is not a strong woman, but she will carry the burdens that lie in her pathway. Her labors during the vacation are of as much value as is her work during the school term, and she should receive according to her work. She has shouldered the care, the inconveniences, and the responsibilities of the school, and for this, she should receive proportionate wages. Nothing of complaint has come to me from them, but these workers are of value to God, and they must be considered. Arrangements must be made that will save the precious talents of these workers, whose influence we cannot have separated from the school by any unadvised movements. Discouragement has been brought upon Brother and Sister Hughes, and the impressions made upon their minds must be effaced by their associate workers. Those who have held the fort and borne responsibilities are to receive just and equal remuneration. They have a love for the cause of God and a conscientious regard for the work in all its phases, and the work needs their talents and influence. They will not put upon the work a wrong impress. The door of temptation should not be opened to them by the inattention of their brethren. The ways of the Lord are just and equal. The workers in the school should receive according to the hours they give to the school in honest, hard labor. Injustice must not be done to any worker. If one man or woman gives to the school full time, he is to receive from the school according to the time the school receives of him. If one gives mind, soul, and strength in bearing the burdens, he is to receive according to the value he gives to the school. Justice and truth are to be maintained, not only for the present and future standing of the school, but for our own individual benefit in righteousness. The Lord will not be a party to the least injustice. If we have consecrated ourselves to God, we are daily and hourly to do the will of our Father which is in heaven. It is profitable for us to inquire as to what enterprise it is best for us to engage in, and whatever work we accept, we should give it our wholehearted service. We should never forget that this school was established at a great sacrifice, and we should inquire every day how we can best please the master in our labors to advance the students in every line of education. The most essential experience to be gained by the teacher and the student is that obtained in seeking for the salvation of the souls for whom Christ has died. Teachers and students are to work for the recovery of that which was lost through transgression. Let every teacher take this work upon him, laboring to place the feet of every student upon the true foundation, the solid rock. All our talents of ability and means are God's entrusted gifts, and He would not have any of His workers behind in a conception of their duty. Everyone is required to shake off the spirit of lethargy and employ his energies faithfully for the advancement of the school. The Lord gave instruction during the last term, which is doubly applicable in this present term. God calls for earnest workers who will give time, strength, and ability to the school. We have no time to lose. We shall soon enough be scattered, we know not where. The students will be scattered in different localities. They must have a thorough knowledge of Bible truth. Our faith must be something more than it is now. The Word of God is offering to each one who receives Jesus Christ a preparedness for eternal life. And as long as Satan exists, every inducement will be presented to lure the soul to self-deception and death. We must have the truth as it is in Jesus. Christ was the great worker. He did not measure his work by hours. His time, his heart, his soul, and strength were given to labor for the benefit and blessing of humanity. Entire days were devoted to labor, and entire nights were spent in prayer, that he might be braced to meet the wily foe in all his deceptive workings, and fortified to do his work in uplifting and restoring humanity. Our faith must take in more than it has done. We must not pervert the Word of God, or crush out and weaken its precious meaning. That Word alone can move our consciences, and quicken our minds to understand, and our hearts to feel.